Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 248 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Bex.
What? I see what you've done there.
Happy Star Wars Day.
That just nearly gave me a heart attack.
I was going to use this.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Or maybe this.
Failed me for the last time.
Which is probably the most appropriate one. But, you know.
It probably is. Let's make no jokes here. You are the brains of the operation. Yes. Thank you for that sincere vote of confidence and honesty. I appreciate that. But yeah, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good as well. I've been having quite a nice Star Wars Day. I've spent most of it editing stuff. But apart from that, you know, it seems to be going fairly well. I will maybe try and go watch the last movie again because I've seen it once, which I know you haven't seen it at all.
I know I still haven't seen it, and that's quite criminal. I want to watch it partly just because I want to form an opinion on it and join that conversation. I'm not even convinced it's going to be that good. I just would like to have an opinion and be part of that chat, because at the moment I just have to run away whenever anyone mentions it because the spoilers are going to be epic.
Yes, that is true. I'm amazed you've managed to avoid the spoilers this far already, so
yeah, quarantine has its uses.
Yeah, well, that's true. So apart from running late on your Twitch streams, what else have you been doing?
I've been playing a bit of Xenocrisis. I don't know if you've played that game.
No.
It is a indie game created for the Mega Drive. People probably know by this point I'm a big fan of a game called Tanglewood that's created by Big Evil Corp, and that is a modern Mega Drive game where it's a little bit like the sort of feel and animation style of things like the Lion King games. It's kind of a platform adventure-y type game. And Xenocrisis is a top-down arena shooter co-op game. It's also out on Steam and on Switch, and it's amazing on both of those two. Really, really good on Switch to play as a co-op game. But it also runs on Mega Drive hardware, and the creators of Xenocrisis very, very kindly sent me a copy of their game, and it's amazing. They've also just made a Dreamcast port of it as well.
Blimey.
Which is going to be coming out soon, and they said that they'll send that my way as well. So really, really massively appreciative to them. And it's a good game. It is just good fun. It's pretty brutal on some of the difficulty bits, but it's just a brilliantly fun top-down shooter, very nostalgic, and just definitely worth a look. And you can get it on all different platforms, including Steam, so very, very accessible for those who don't want to run on original hardware. And other than that, I've been playing another thing, which is a modern and nostalgic, because of course, as well as it being epicness like, you know, May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day, it's Streets of Rage 4 week as well. That just got released a few days ago.
Yes, I saw
it's
that.
It's so good. Have you played it yet? Did you get to try a beta when they had it at EGX and stuff last year?
No, I didn't. I think I saw it running, but I didn't have a chance to actually give it a go. I have many hours of when I was a child stood playing the arcade game versions of that. That was much, much fun. So
yeah, it's a really, really good game. You can see how much love the developers had for the original series when they made this. So it is a true sequel rather than being just something that's a bit of a remake or a bit of a reboot type thing. It takes elements from the older ones. It evolves things on. They've added in a new combo system. They've got these star move power-ups you can do. There's some extra new characters. They've generally just added a load more things to it that you feel like the people that made the original would have gone like, oh, if we had the space on the cartridge, we would have done that. And I think that's a lovely thing to feel, is that you don't feel like these things are being added for no reason. They feel like natural additions to evolve the game on.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's just exploiting the nostalgia, which is good.
No, and one of the other things they're doing, one of the things they were criticized for originally, was changing the artwork style.
Yes. So, it's much smoother. Yeah,
it's not pixel art. There is an unlockable pixel art version for the character sprites if you do want that. They've also given you the option to play original music rather than their new music as well. So you can play it with those kind of nostalgic elements too. But they have updated the artwork style. So it looks like the cover art for these kind of games. Nice. So again, it feels like it's a type of art that the people would have made if they had those capabilities when they made the original game. So it feels very much like a spiritual successor in artwork format. It's still 2D. It's still got that wonderful side-scrolling beat-em-up feel, but it is a newer style to take advantage of the hardware they're now running on. And I think it's a beautiful blend between the two and very much a love letter to the original trilogy of games.
That's good.
I'm loving it. I think it is an absolutely great game and definitely worth playing. It's also got the advantage, which they could never do in the originals. It's got 4-player local co-op and it's got 2-player online co-op as well.
Nice. So
nice, wonderful thing. I'm going to try and play it on stream at some point over the tinterwebs, through the magic of the tinterwebs, to play it co-op that way. Because cool. I think that's going to be absolutely great fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. I will have to check that one out.
Who was your main in the original? Who did you play as in the arcades?
I trying to remember the character names. I think it was the bigger guy. Is it Axel?
Axel's a very, very popular one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played as Blaze, which is the lady in the red dress who was the fastest type character.
Yes.
I always go for the speed, the agility in all the games I play. So in Street Fighter, I'm Vega or I'm Chun-Li and things like that. And I always tend to go for the nippy, speedy characters. But you're a little bit more tank.
I always go for tanks usually. So
yeah, Axel's kind of a good blend, a good mix.
Yeah, no, I'll have to go look that up. That sounds like it could be really good fun. So that's one to definitely go look at. Anything else?
I also breakdanced. There's that.
Oh yes, this was on your stream with the
Jason Bradbury.
Bradbury, yes, yes.
Legendary TV presenter Jason Bradbury very, very kindly has invited me to be on his Twitch channel, and he challenged me to a breakdancing duel. So there is a video, a totally real video that I did absolutely no editing to whatsoever.
I'm sure, yes, of course.
Of course. What are you implying? That I can't do backflips and twists and things? I spent a whole week learning those moves.
I'm implying that the break in breakdance is more likely to be more applicable to you.
I did put my back out. Yeah, I'm injured.
There you go. Yes, you see.
I'm 38
no
on
way.
Friday, you know?
Yeah. I was 45 this week, so.
It's not a competition. Also, happy birthday.
Thank you. And happy birthday for you later this week.
But yeah, so there is a video of me breakdancing that I may, if people want to see it, I may put it up on Twitter or on my Discord or something like that. And then you can marvel at what a weeks of learning totally real, definitely not done in After Effects moves.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure.
Yes. What have you been up to?
Well, I mean, obviously it's Star Wars Day. So I did dig out some Star Wars facts if you want some Star Wars content for you.
Seems applicable.
So, you know, the name Ewok is never actually spoken in any of the films. It's never actually mentioned. It's in the end credits. They're called Ewoks, but nobody calls them Ewoks on screen.
Because they've got the cartoon is called the Ewoks. And
yes.
In the Caravan of Courage, are they called Ewoks?
They are called Ewoks, but nobody calls them Ewoks actually on camera.
I did not know that.
And they're speaking a mixture of Tibetan and Nepalese, apparently, is their language. So that was one fact. Yoda grew an extra toe between The Phantom Menace and Empire Strikes Back, because in Phantom Menace he had 3 toes, and in Empire he PS4, apparently.
Ah, well, I mean, he's very ancient, and they, you know, maybe it's like humans with like ears and things that keep growing. Maybe they just grow extra toes.
Maybe. I mean, that is the thing, of course. Nobody knows what Yoda is. His species has never been named in the Star Wars universe either. So that's the other thing, is nobody knows anything about where Yoda comes from. We've seen a few of his species, but nobody knows. The species is one of the few that doesn't actually have a name anywhere in the Star Wars universe. Apparently, the original plan was to have Yoda played by a monkey in a mask.
That would have been very different.
Yes, I can't imagine that went down. That would have worked particularly well. Also, he's officially not a Muppet, because he wasn't created by Jim Henson. Although Jim Henson oversaw the creation of Yoda, he was actually built by members of Lucasfilm. So he's officially not a Muppet because he wasn't made by Jim Henson. In terms of other things, Qui-Gon Jinn's communicator, if you thought that looked familiar, it is a resin cast of a Gillette Ladies Sensor XL razor.
That's amazing. I knew those things were cool.
Speaking of Qui-Gon, Liam Neeson cost them an additional $150,000 because when they built the sets, they didn't account for how tall Liam was, because he is 6'4", and they had to rebuild all the door frames.
That's amazing.
Which is brilliant.
I bet they didn't make that mistake again.
Yes. They've had issues with height before, because every time Carrie Fisher was on screen with Harrison Ford, most of the time she was stood on a box because they had to get the height right, because Harrison is 6'1" and Carrie is 5'1".
So there's a lot of that in films, though. Yes, that's quite cool. There is a lot of that goes on in filmmaking. The Yellow Pages use it a lot.
Yes, I like that. I know that goes on quite a bit. The Hoth scene, the blizzard in the Hoth scene, was actually filmed on a glacier in Norway, and the blizzard isn't special effects. It's a genuine blizzard they shot it in.
I don't know if that's more or less impressive, because I always thought that looked very good.
Yes. The TIE fighters are actually elephants.
obviously.
Or rather, the sound for the TIE fighter engine is actually combining an elephant bellow with a car driving on a wet pavement, apparently. That's the sound combination. So that if you want to recreate the sound of a TIE fighter, that's what you need.
So you have to be an elephant driving in a car on a wet pavement.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. That obviously, yes. Yeah. There is Star Wars currency, which is actual legal tender in one particular place on Earth. It's a South Pacific island called Niue, and it accepts limited edition Star Wars collectible coins as legal tender.
Under what value? Under the value they're listed on the coins, or under the eBay selling value that week? Because that would be a very variable marketplace.
And there is a connection between The Empire Strikes Back and Doctor Who. The costume that Bosk, the bounty hunter, wears is from a 1966 episode of Doctor Who.
That's just reuse. That's good.
Yeah, which is great. It's like the Serenity used a bunch of costumes, which they reused from Starship Troopers, I think it was. They reused the costumes from on that.
You get loads of things like that. The rooftop scenes, a lot of the ones in The Matrix, I believe, were the same rooftops that were built for Dark City a few months before.
Yes. So
and things like that.
It's great. Great. You know, those sort of things pop up. So, yeah, speaking of reusing things, one of the things that I watched this week was Hollywood, which is the new Ryan Murphy thing on Netflix, which is kind of about the early time in Hollywood, just as the sort of talking pictures had kind of come in a few years after that sort of happened. One of the things that they used in that, one of the ways that they used to get extras was they used to go up to the front gate of the studio and basically stand around, and a woman would come out and go, you, 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 and you. That's how they used to pick extras for the day's filming. And they depict this in that. Blatantly, it is Paramount Studios, because if you want to use a whole old Hollywood looking studio, Paramount's the one you go to, because it still looks like old Hollywood. So they changed the signing to like A Studios, which is the big studio they use in the TV show. The TV show is an interesting thing, because it's kind of an alt version of Hollywood, and it's a sort of what if, and it's sort of what if Hollywood at that time had been a bit more open to using people of female gender a bit more and being a bit more open to using them rather than just sort of, you know, the props in pictures, and also the same with people of different races and people of different sexualities. And it's sort of a dive into that. It's quite interesting how he's put it sort of together. So it's sort of this weird alt history of early time in Hollywood and a sort of what if it had been a bit more open and a bit more free, which I think is quite a fascinating idea. I've only watched the first episode of it so far, but it's really quite good. Definitely want to go and check out. I will be going and watch the rest of that. The other thing I've watched this week is Upload, which is a new Amazon series, stars Robbie Amell. And this is from one of the guys behind Parks and Rec, not the one that went on to do the Good Place. But it's weird they've both gone for these kind of afterlife things. So the idea of Upload is when you die, you have the option just before you die, if you can get to a facility, you can be wheeled in facility and uploaded into this virtual afterlife. And that's what happens to Robbie Amell's character. He is in an accident and he ends up getting uploaded into this virtual afterlife. It's sort of all the stuff that continues on with him still being able to sort of being this virtual avatar in this afterlife, but still having contact with people out in the real world, but obviously only through kind of phones and in VR and that sort of stuff. The circumstances surrounding him, his upload, are a little bit suspicious as well, and they start to get a little bit more into that. But it's almost a bit like the idea of the wholesomeness of something like The Good Place mixed with like a bit of Black Mirror over the top. It's a really twisted environment. It's a really good show. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I'm three episodes in. They're about half an hour long, but that's up on Amazon Prime. I would urge you to go and watch that because I think that's been a really interesting series so far. So I've been enjoying that quite a lot. The other things gaming wise, I finished XCOM Chimera Squad, which you talked about last week, and that's a really good game. There's a good 30 hours of gameplay for a game which is basically under £20. So I would definitely recommend going that if you like those XCOM games. So I was looking for something with a bit more of that kind of turn-based strategy thing, and I went and got Phoenix Point, which is available on the Epic Game Store, which is from the makers of XCOM, or some of the team that were behind XCOM. And it's very XCOM-like, except it's much sort of broader and bigger, and rather than doing smaller missions, it's kind of, you can have different groups and it's spread over a larger planet. And you're not dealing with aliens, you're dealing with a virus, appropriately for the times we're in at the moment. It's a virus which has turned people into sort of alien-esque monsters rather than zombies. So those are the sort of main baddies. And then you've got different factions which have popped up, and some have kind of got an ultra-religious faction, and some have sort of gone down the route of turning body parts into sort of robotic body parts, and they're all kind of at war with each other, so you're dealing with that as well. Again, if you like the XCOM franchise, it's definitely an interesting kind of slightly different direction for it, but if you like those turn-based strategy games, it's definitely one looking at, I think, that. Do you play any XCOM games? I don't know whether that's your sort of thing.
Weirdly, I haven't really ever spent a vast amount of time on them. They're good, like, sci-fi looking turn-based strategy. I have no idea why I didn't hugely get into them, but they just seem to be something that passed me by. It's possible that when they came out, something else came out the same year that I threw myself into utterly, I think is the most likely right. The most likely thing, and then just never really got onto the franchise. But yeah, it's got aliens and spaceships in it.
It has.
Why am I not playing it is the question.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really played any of the original kind of retro ones, but the remake of XCOM and XCOM 2 were really good. And but, I mean, it's the same sort of principle as the original XCOM games, just with updated graphics pretty much. So I loved playing those. And then they introduced this new one called Chimera Squad, which had basically the same sort of thing, but with a few additional bits and pieces. So there's that out now. And then Phoenix Point, which is this one done by the same, some of the developers from XCOM. That's up on the Epic Game Store, so you can go and get that. But you can pick up XCOM fairly cheaply, actually. So that might be one worth trying out and streaming at some point.
Yeah, I'll add it to the list.
In actual fact, I may have a copy of XCon I can send you over Steam. I will go and have a look.
Thank you.
So sticking with gaming news, Ubisoft have made an announcement of the latest Assassin's Creed, which is going to be called Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which, I mean, if you know anything about Valhalla, you know that means it's got Vikings in it. So that's an area they've not done yet, which I think is kind of interesting. They're saying it's offering a captivating Viking experience, brings players to a dynamic and beautiful open world set against a brutal backdrop of England's Dark Ages. So it's actually set in England with the Vikings invading, and you play one of the Viking invaders. That seems to be the setup for it. If you played any of the Assassin's Creed games, they're a bit of a mixed bag. Some are much better than others.
Yeah, I've kind of dipped in and out of them. I'm trying to think if I've actually played one the entire way through.
I had
a point as well when I lived with a friend of mine, and we used to kind of play games the way I used to play them as a kid, which is when you die you take turns.
Right, yeah.
So there are bits of games that I've dipped in and out of. So it's like I've played large chunks of things like the Arkham games, the Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, Arkham Knight, partly because this friend would get me to do all of the Riddler puzzles, all of the stuff like that, and they liked the heavy melee combat bits.
Right, yeah.
So I would do bits of investigating and bits of puzzle solving, and they would do the other bits. And I've done the same with some of the Assassin's Creed games as well. So I've played chunks of them, but I've dipped in and out. The new one looks pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think Vikings is a solid area to go behind. I mean, the one that I enjoyed most was probably Black Flag. I thought Black Flag was really good fun. And this is developed by Ubisoft Montreal, who did Assassin's Creed Origins and Assassin's Creed Black Flag. So it is that team that are the people behind it, apparently. I may look at this. I like the idea of a sort of Viking thing. I think that could be quite good. So
it's a natural kind of progression and area for them to explore next, really.
Yes, I think it's a solid area for them going. There's various versions out. There's like Gold Edition, Ultimate Edition, Collector's Edition, all at various prices. And it's going to be on Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Stadia, Windows PC, Xbox One. So it'll be on everything. And coming out at the end of the year, they've said, for that, if you want to keep an eye out for that one. The only other little bit of news, which is a little bit sad, Sam Lloyd, who you might probably know best as Ted from Scrubs, passed away from a brain tumour earlier this week. He was 56. So very sorry to hear that. He seemed like the sweet and lovely guy. And I used to love him on Scrubs. Scrubs was a great TV show, didn't
you? Yeah, he was a great standout character. His performance in that was wonderful. I think that's probably the only place I really know him from.
Yeah.
And I still instantly know who he is. So that's kind of proof of how much he added to that show.
Yes. So Godspeed, Sam Lloyd. A great loss, really, because he seems like such a lovely guy. Sadly, passed away this week. So best wishes to his family. And yes. So let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups. Couple of renewals for you. Insecure being renewed for a fifth season, so that will be coming back. Out of nowhere, though, Danish drama Borgen, I think that's how you pronounce it, that is coming back for a fourth season in 2022, apparently. That is the Danish drama, I think it ran on BBC Four over here. It's Netflix have done a deal to take the international rights for a fourth season. So that was a Danish political drama that has been revived about 8 years after it finished. So yes, didn't expect that one to appear, but there you go. If you're a fan of that show, it will be back. Cancellations, Dare Me, which was a USA network show. It went out on Netflix internationally. That has been cancelled after one season. Excuse me while I get in the right frame of mind this. Love Island has been postponed until 2021.
Oh no.
How will we cope?
I very much try and say any entertainment that people enjoy, and I will never put people down for watching these things, and I will never say you shouldn't watch things, but I equally cannot pretend I care about that news.
Yeah, no, I'm trying, honestly. But yes, postponed until 2021, apparently. Tragic, I'm sure. So the other thing is, we're getting into the middle of May, or we will be getting into the middle of May. And anybody that listens to the show or reads the website know May traditionally is when we get all the new TV shows and all the renewals and cancellations. Obviously, this year, things are going to be a little bit different because last time we checked, there was one, possibly two pilots that have been shot. So there's not really an awful lot to announce at the moment. So a lot of the upfront presentations, which is where they present all this stuff to the press and investors, are all delayed, which means the Television Critics Association Summer Press Tour, which is part of that sort of the whole thing, has also been delayed as well. So at the moment, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. All we know is there's likely to be less announcements about renewals and cancellations this May as we would traditionally get them. Again, due to the virus, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know whether we're going to get renewals later, or we don't know whether they're going to get cancellations. There may be that they will renew more shows that are currently on air. We just don't know at the moment, but we'll bring you more news of that as we get it. But yes, it's not going to be kind of the crazy mad rush that it usually is around the middle of May. But we'll see as we get a couple of weeks closer to it. A few new air dates. We have a new air date for 911 has finally got a UK air date. That's coming on the 19th of May at 9 p.m. to Sky Witness. I did check with Sky. 911 Lone Star, which is the spin-off series, has not yet been picked up by Sky. We don't know whether they are going to go for it at some point, but at the moment it is not on their books. So if you were hoping for the spin-off series, that hasn't landed. But 911, the main show, that is turning up on the 19th of May. Hopefully they don't come up with a crossover for that, otherwise we're going to end up with another Batwoman situation and nobody wants that. Snowpiercer has also got a premiere date on Netflix. That's coming on the 25th of May. This is the TV show based on the movie. It has already been renewed for a second season as well.
Is it based on the movie? I assumed it was another adaptation of the French graphic novel.
It is a mixture of both, apparently. It's a mixture of, I think they're taking elements from the movie and elements from the graphic novel. So it is a new kind of retelling, but they are aware that there's a lot of love for the film as well. So it is a sort of adaptation of both.
The film is really, really good. If anyone hasn't seen the film for Snowpiercer, I definitely recommend checking it out. It has some lovely imagery and lovely acting, and just the idea is just, it's a very difficult idea to get across in film. The idea of existing on a permanently moving train in a class system in part of an icy wasteland that is the entirety of planet Earth is it's not an easy thing to get across, and they did a really good job with it. So I'm quite excited to see this series, and even more intrigued now I know that it is actually taking elements from that film as well as from the original book.
Yes, so that I think is going to be a very interesting one to see. 25th of May on Netflix, which is a few days after it airs in the US, I think, is that arriving. So one to look out for, definitely. Pandora, which is a CW series, I think it was one of the CW summer series, that's been picked up by Sci-Fi UK. That's on the 21st of May. That is arriving at 9 p.m. on Sci-Fi UK. Pandora, set in the year 2199. It's a sci-fi action series that follows a resourceful young woman who has lost everything but finds a new life at Earth's Space Training Academy, where she and her friends learn to defend the galaxy from threats, both alien and human. When secrets about the nature of our own identity begin to surface, she must uncover the truth and whether she will be humanity's savior or the instrument of its destruction. That's the strapline for it. It is produced by one of the guys behind Castle and The Librarians. So, yes.
That's two very different series in quality there.
Yes, interesting setup there. The cast is not really any names that I particularly know. Somebody from Home and Away in there. There's somebody from The Librarians and Neighbours in there. So there's a couple of Australian people. So yeah, I mean, who knows? It's coming on to Sci-Fi UK on 21st of May. Could be one to watch out for. I think it's already been renewed for a second season as well. So that was a CW show, and it's been picked up by Sci-Fi UK. And one of the other things which was sort of come out of the whole coronavirus stuff, BBC are remaking the Alan Bennett talking head monologues. I don't know whether you remember these. There was a number of years ago when they made the original
ones. Yeah, I loved them. And I also studied the original written versions in school as well. So,
So what they're doing is they're remaking all the original ones. And apparently Alan Bennett wrote two new ones as well last year. So they're doing all the originals and remaking those. And because you're pretty much one person sat in front of a camera, and you can pretty much do that very, very easily without too much work and something that you can film social distancing, which is the entire point. So
the perfect time to be doing those again.
Absolutely. And like I say, you get all the originals and two new ones. The cast list, there's a whole bunch of people, but Jodie Comer, Martin Freeman, Tasman Gregg, Christian Scott Thomas, Imelda Thornton, Sarah Lancashire, and a whole bunch of other people as well. So great cast they've got lined up for that. And for the older people among you that remember the originals, I think this will be a really good version of it as well. And it'll be good to see some new ones. They're very, very funny. And they're going out in the next few months on the BBC, but they haven't given an exact date for those yet, presumably because they're not filmed yet. But they are coming up. So moving on to some bigger news, Geoff Johns Mad Ghost Productions, which is his production company, I've announced that they're joining Greg Berlanti on the live action Green Lantern series, for which they're making for HBO Max, or it's in production for HBO Max. We don't know whether it's actually going to full series yet, but they have jumped on board. Geoff Johns is very, very familiar with Green Lantern. I hadn't realised quite how pivotal his role had been in shaping the kind of whole mythology of the Green Lantern stuff. He was the person that wrote Green Lantern Rebirth, which was the reintroduction of Hal Jordan into the Green Lantern world. He wrote on the book for 9 years. He also introduced the idea of the Green Lantern corpse as being one section of a spectrum of lantern colours. So he introduced the Sinestro corpse, the Blue Lantern corpse, Red Lantern corpse, the Indigo tribe. That was all his sort of concept. Yeah, I hadn't realised quite how involved Geoff Johns had been in developing that. But I mean, it seems a no-brainer to get involved in this, given his background, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, and also given the history of adaptations of Green Lantern in the past,
yes.
I think it will reassure fans of the comic books that this next one will be something worth turning the TV on for as well.
Well yes. I mean, you say that. He did have some involvement in that live-action movie, but he co-wrote the story for the long-gestating and yet-to-be-produced Green Lantern Corps movie. We don't know when or whether that is actually going to end up happening. He was creative consultant on the 2011 Green Lantern film, so he didn't have direct control over it, so I think we can forgive him that, but he was kind of tangentially involved in that. He's worked with Berlanti on Flash, Batwoman, Titans, Doom Patrol, and he's working on the upcoming Superman and Lois TV series, and on the new Stargirl series as well. So they've got quite a close working relationship. Geoff Johns was chief creative officer and president or something, or of DC for a while, but he left that quite recently and set up this new production company called Mad Ghost Productions. So he's now doing his own thing, but a lot of the things that he's involved with are still DC related. So I am quite looking forward to this. We don't know any casting about the TV show. It is rumoured to feature two lanterns from Earth. Presumably one of those will be Hal Jordan, because if you're going to do Green Lantern, you sort of need to do Al, I would say. The other one, possibly John Stewart, although he might not be called John Stewart, if they're going to attach it to the rest of the Arrowverse, which is a possibility. And if those of you have seen the Crisis episodes will know what I'm referring to there, because there is a possibility that there is a character from the Arrowverse that could possibly become a lantern. That may be some sort of crossover. It is running on HBO Max, not the CW, so there is no out-and-out need for them to do that crossover, but they do quite like to keep things tied together, and it would be quite a nice nod if they could tie that across, but we don't know at the moment. I mean, what do you reckon if it's two lanterns from Earth? John Stewart and Hal Jordan seem like the obvious ones, I would have thought.
They seem like the obvious ones, yeah. I'm interested to see how they can make this work in a TV show format, and how they're going to do all of the quite demanding effects and things that this has to have, because it is, Green Lantern is one of those things where if you don't have all of those really creative effects. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the mask type thing, that the sort of the almost zaniness and creativity-ness of the way people use their lantern powers is a massive part of the appeal. And whenever there's introduced a Green Lantern who just uses their ring like a phaser, that is not anyone's favorite Green Lantern.
No.
So I would love to see them do well with it. I would love to see a version of Green Lantern on the screen that I could really get behind and become a fan of. So I wish them well. I think they've got some good names and a good working relationship going there. But I won't hold my breath.
No.
But I will watch it when it comes out.
I suspect that's a reason. One of the reasons is budgetary, why it's on HBO Max and not on the CW. I rather suspect, because the effects budget is like every single thing is going to be an effects shop probably. So yes. But we'll see. It is technically in development at the moment, and not in full-blown production. So it may not happen. And we'll have to wait and see. Other TV licenses that are coming, this is the main HBO, which is in development, is a Hellraiser series with Halloween's David Gordon Green set as the director. So if you're unfamiliar with the Hellraiser franchise, focuses on a puzzle box that opens a gateway to a hell-like realm of the Cenobites, an order of formerly human monsters who harvest human souls to torture in sadistic experiments. The new version is supposed to not be a reboot. It's a continuation of the story using all the various films and previous books as a sort of history, and it will be building on that. It will feature Pinhead, who is the iconic leader of the Cenobites, as the central antagonist, I think. Don't know much more about the story other than that. It's been written by Mark Verheiden, who has written on things like Battlestar Galactica, Daredevil and Heroes, and Michael Dougherty, who's written on X-Men United, Godzilla King of Monsters, Trick or Treat, with David Gordon Green, who is one of the people behind the Halloween franchise, directing the pilot and a number of other episodes. Hellraiser's probably not your thing. You don't really do horror, do you?
I'm not massively into the horror genre myself, but I have a lot of friends who are very much fans of this series and the lore behind it as well. Like, people kind of think it is just like a shock horror kind of film, but actually there is a lot of lore and a lot of interesting stuff that goes on in their world, and people get very, very intrigued by that, and they are always wanting more material. So I think there is a lot of people who would be very happy to hear there's going to be a continuation of the story rather than it being some kind of reboot. Yeah. It's a fascinating thing. It has some really striking iconography, though. Obviously, that the primary character has pins in their head, which was apparently something they were doing to mark out all of the framework of what they were going to turn into the monster. And then they looked at it and thought about the way that the story works, and actually decided to use the pins as the pins and the grid on the face they were going to use to work out the planning as the creature. That's the kind of like story that went round when it came out anyway. And it has such a vast fan base of people that I think will be really, really pleased to hear this.
Yeah. And that's not the only thing as well. Weirdly, Spyglass, who are a movie production company, are also developing a Hellraiser movie reboot, which is produced by David S. Goyer. Apparently that is still happening as well, but that is going to be a completely separate thing and have nothing to do with the TV show.
So, yeah, I thought that had kind of just sort of fallen by the wayside because I hadn't heard anything about the reboot in ages. So I just assumed that was one of those ideas that, you know, like the Akira remake in America, that people just kind of went, nobody liked this idea. Let's just pretend we never said it. Okay. That's still going ahead then.
Apparently, yes. They're saying at the moment, as far as they're aware, that's still going ahead. But they are two completely separate entities. So you could be getting a movie reboot and a TV show. I rather suspect the TV show will probably be better than the movie, if that is the case. But we'll have to wait and see. The TV show, again, is still only in development, so it may land on HBO, which means it would land on Sky Atlantic over here, but we'll have to wait and see. The other bit of news that we had come out this week was Terry Pratchett's Nerevita, which is the production company that was set up to manage his work before he died, has struck a deal with Motive Pictures and Endeavour Content to create authentic Discworld screen adaptations. There have been, obviously adaptations of Discworld books previously to varying degrees of success. The idea of this is they are trying to create things for screen which are truly, genuinely authentic versions of the books, which I think is a fabulous idea. That's what you want, really, isn't it? You don't want them messing around with it. Nerivita is the company that is set up by Sir Terry and Managing Director Rob Wilkins, who's been heavily involved in all that stuff, and Rhianna Pratchett, who is a great author in her own right, but Terry's daughter as well. So they are the people that are involved from that side. Endeavor Content are the people that were behind things like Humans and Electric Dreams and Kiss Me First. They were all commissioned for Channel 4 when the guy that runs it previously was head of international drama at Channel 4. So yeah, I mean, that seems like a good combination of people, I think, behind it. I would love to see some genuine Discworld adaptations out there.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would as well. They are so beloved to so many people that it would just be lovely to see those authentic versions brought to screen. And they just aren't things that you can really change a huge amount, because the fan base has just so much love for those books. And I would love to see some more things made of that. Do you know if they're going to be making animated ones or live action ones, or do we not know at this point in time?
We don't know at the moment, and we don't know whether they're film or TV. I would suspect, I mean, there could be quite a lot of them could be TV. I mean, they could go either way with those, because those people have been involved in both film and TV.
Yeah, because I think animation is the more natural fit for something that has all those beautiful, whimsical, exaggerated characters, caricatures. They have just everything about the imagery. To me, I would love to see something animated in the same style as the book cover arts was drawn.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I think that would be wonderful. So that's kind of my hope of the direction it would go in, is that you'd get the most freedom and the most ability to visually express the words in those novels if they go down the animation route. But I will just have to wait and see, I guess, until more information is released.
Yeah, I mean, they did Good Omens and they did a pretty decent job with that, I would say. So, you know.
Yeah. Good Omens had less entire flat planets with animals holding it up, swimming along the space, though.
That is true, yes. but yeah, you know, so we'll have to wait and see what they actually come up with. But yeah, I very much looking forward to that. I will be interested to see some, I quite like to see some live action stuff. But yes, I agree, they have more freedom if you do an animated version. So we'll have to wait and see what they come up with. That's all the news we've got for this week. Let's move on to some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. On More 4, we have Outlander Season 4. That is airing on the 7th of May at 9 p.m. I've really enjoyed that series. It's also obviously going out on Amazon Prime. You can get it all up on there. But if you don't have Amazon Prime, it's coming to More 4 on the 7th of May at 9 p.m. You can go watch that. Brassic Season 2 comes to Sky 1 on the 7th of May at 10 p.m. So you can go and find that on there. Rick and Morty returns for the second half of Season 4. That's on E4 on the 7th of May at 10 p.m. as well. I'm definitely going to be watching that. It's a brilliant, brilliant cartoon. And that's going to be followed by Harlequin Season 1. That's coming to E4 on the 7th of May at 10:30. Seen the first episode of this. It is superb. Have you seen any of this yet?
I've seen quite a few episodes of this one.
Right, okay.
It's good fun. It is good fun series. I haven't seen all of it yet. I'm looking forward to it coming out in its entirety. But it's good fun. I like it. I like the dynamic they have, because I've always loved the dynamic between Ivy and Harley, and they fully embrace that in this one. And
absolutely.
I would say it gets better after the first episode as well. So if you like the first episode, you're definitely going to like it as it evolves on more into a proper story. But it has those good elements of the slapstick comedy, but also just has a little bit more heart than I sometimes see in the cartoon adaptations.
Yes. And it's definitely not aimed at children. So don't let your young kids watch it.
No. Don't let the cute art style fool you in this one, that people get deaded.
Yes, it's on at 10:30 p.m. for a reason.
Yes.
So that's on the 7th of May on E4. Watch that. Rig 45 is coming back for its second season. That's on Stars Play. That's a gritty, suspenseful thriller set on an oil rig in the North Sea. That's on the 7th of May. Dead to Me returns for a second season. That's on the 8th of May on Netflix. First season of that was superb. Definitely worth going to watch the second season of that. Dave, and not me, the TV show. There's now a channel and a TV show called Dave. But there is a TV show called Dave. Stars rapper comedian Little Dicky as a neurotic man in his late 20s who believes he's destined to become one of the best rappers of all time. That is coming to BBC Two on the 10th of May at 10 p.m. So that looks like it could be quite funny. Go and watch that. The fourth and final season of Brockmire, that's on the 11th May at 11 p.m. So that is coming back. I Know This Much Is True, which is the HBO miniseries coming to Sky Atlantic on the 11th of May at 2 a.m. because it is simulcasting with the US. So we're at 2 a.m. and then I think they'll be repeat at 9 or 10 p.m. that evening. Stars Mark Ruffalo opposite Mark Ruffalo in a limited series about identical twin brothers. It looks like it could be quite good. Don't expect a Hulk. It's not a comedy. It is a very much a drama, but simulcast with the US and then repeated at 9 p.m. if you want to go and watch that. And then finally, The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is back for a special. This is the interactive special done in the style of the sort of Bandersnatch thing where you can choose your own adventure your way through it. That is coming to Netflix on the 12th of May. It's a one-off final outing for Kimmy Schmidt, final as far as we're aware at the moment. So if you're a fan of that show, that's definitely going to be one to check out. You can go and work your way through that on the 12th of May. And that is everything. Where can people find you if they want to find more about you?
You can find me as Trustabytes, spelled B-Y-T-E-S, over on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm also streaming pretty much every day, if not twice a day, on Twitch at the moment with Geek Nonsense Chatter. Some gameplay occasionally falling off things. And I put videos up on YouTube as well, all around the sort of geek topics, sci-fi movies, computer games, etc., etc.
Yes, so go and check out Bex over on twitch.tv at Trustabytes. Definitely worth checking out. Try not to distract her when she's going to be somewhere else for a stream.
I didn't make us late today. Don't know what you're talking about.
Not at all. So go check that out. She's up there daily. Also, go check out Matt over on entertainmenttalk.org as well. There's lots of podcasts going on over there as well. You can, of course, find us at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at GeekTownUK. Everybody stay safe. Make sure you wash your hands, look after each other, talk to your elderly relatives, make sure they're all okay. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.